Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Friends and supporters use words like shocked, stunned, and disappointed when they heard that Linda Dorsina-Forey would step down from the state Senate, where she has served since 2013. Dorsina-Forey is the daughter of Haitian immigrants. She became the first woman and the first person of color to represent the first Suffolk District, which includes South Boston, her home neighborhood of Dorchester, Mattapan, and parts of Hyde Park, and she was the only person of color in the state Senate. Linda Dorsina-Forey will give her farewell address tomorrow and has become the vice president for Suffolk Construction, where she'll work on efforts around diversity, inclusion, and community relations. And I'm really happy to welcome her here right now. Linda Dorsina-Forey, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely, Anthony. Happy to be here.
And congratulations on this new opportunity. And I have to ask,
Thank you.
Why did you want to leave the state Senate in Massachusetts politics?
Wow. Well, I'm going to say first, thank you for having me. It has been really an honor, you know, to serve. But a lot of folks don't know that I've served in the state and public and state and municipal government for 22 years, 13 of those years in elected office. And so,
right, because you were in the House of Representatives as well. You were a state rep for
8.5 years, right. Which is a long time. But then, you know, to be able to serve and to really work on behalf of my constituents has been a blessing. But really to just be able to take all this experience and to move it forward. I think, you know, public sector is in my blood, right? And really being of service. But to be able to go into a phenomenal company like Suffolk and to work for a leader like John Fish and to be part of his leadership team and his, and really be part of that is very exciting, because I think that in order to be well-rounded, you know, public sector is one thing, because all my professional career has been there. I think now I have an opportunity to go continue that work in the private sector.
Well, I want to ask you about sort of what you want to do in this new opportunity, but I want you to look back as well. How do you think the political world in this state changed during those 2 decades plus that you were serving in elective office?
Oh, wow, Anthony, that's a big question. I'll say that it has changed tremendously, right? I can tell you that, you know, being in the state Senate, there are two of us who are people of color. I am the only black person in the Senate. There's 40 state senators in Massachusetts. The other person is Senator Sonia Cheng Diaz, who's Latina Asian. And, you know, and we work obviously collaboratively with our colleagues, whether it's around housing, mental health, you know, really about job access as well. But the climate has changed. I look at the city council, for example, right? You have President Andrea Campbell, you know, 6 women of color are now serving on the Boston City Council. That's a tremendous change. You know, you have the mayor of Framingham, Yvonne Spicer, you know, a black woman, you know, folks. So the change is happening. But, you know, we still have a lot of work to do, no doubt.
Well, I was going to say that in terms of a lot of work to do, I mean, what does it say about how much work remains to be done in that there were just 2 women of color in the state Senate? You were the only, as you said, African American. Now you're leaving. I mean, it's still kind of a white guy's club there.
I mean, a tad, right? A little bit. I'm going to say that,
bit, yeah.
You know, just a little bit. But it was difficult, right? So I'm going to say that, you know, I've thought about this. My husband and I have 4 children. You know, we have 4 kids. When I first came in, I only had 1 son. He was 15 months old. As a state rep, I had 3 additional children. You know, I consider myself the sandwich generation. My parents are 80. My dad has Alzheimer's. My mom's mom, my grandmother's 103, and she lives with my parents. So I give support to my mom as well. And so for me, this was the right time, you know, to make this decision for my family. Although as I was going through it, you know, with my husband, you know, that no doubt also came into our mind that, wow, Linda, if you leave, you know, you're the only black senator, you know, in Massachusetts. And, you know, will that have an impact? I can tell you that we have incredible colleagues who are not folks of color, right, who continue to fight with us in the struggle and continue to do the work. You know, the Massachusetts Black and Latino Legislative Caucus, the Mass Women's Caucus, you know, the Progressive Caucus, you know, these are groups that are working together, you know, to continue to fight on issues that are impacting our communities, but not just communities of color. It's all of our communities, right? When you talk about poverty, when you talk about income inequality, when you talk about, you know, giving opportunities to young people so they could have a better life.
Before you announced that you were leaving, you had expressed interest in becoming acting Senate president around all of the these are difficult times in the state Senate right now. Did the appointment of Harriet Chandler affect your decision on whether or not to stay in the Senate? In other words, had there been another opportunity there for you to sort of advance, would you have stayed?
No, I'll say that, you know, I supported Senate President Harriet Chandler. I think that was the great move that we could have done as a body, you know, to bring stability and really work bringing people to the table so we could work effectively with the last 6 months of session. I can tell you that, you know, when the idea, I did look at Senate President, you know, no one knew, none of my colleagues knew back in November that these stories would come out, right, around Stan Rosenberg and whether or not, you know, he would be stepping down. But when that opportunity presented itself, my colleagues came up to me and said, Linda, you would be awesome, you know, to help lead this body. And so I took a serious look at it. And I can tell you there were two things that were clear. One, first was that, you know, a number of my colleagues, senators felt that, you know, they weren't sure. And they felt that, you know, Senator Rosenberg could come back and lead the body. You know, I felt back then, as I do today, that we needed to close that chapter and to move forward, that they needed to be a new leader. And the second thing is, and then we have that leader in Senate President Harriet Chandler, right? And we thought that was important. We voted together in a caucus with our Republican folks as well, you know, saying, you know what, this is going to be great as an interim. But I'm happy that my colleagues removed the acting because Senate President Chandler has been doing the job and she's been doing it well. She's strong. She's dedicated. She's motivated to get the Senate and get our issues working with Speaker DeLeo to the forefront and getting bills to the governor's desk, which is critical. So that was one. Two, you know, again, my husband and I, you know, we've had these discussions for a number of months before the whole issue came up around Senate President, you know, whether it was time to step away for a moment. And so, you know, so the second piece is that, you know, if I were to be successful now, again, it's if I were to mount this campaign, whatever, but we support Chandler. I voted for her. But if there was another option, you know, that would be another 5 years or another 6 years, you know, of leading the chamber. I would have been happy to do it. But you know what? The time had come.
This was the time.
This was the time, and it wasn't because of that at all, because we thought about it before in terms of stepping away.
Well, let me ask you about this. I mean, among the issues that you had to navigate early in your Senate career was this issue around the St. Patrick's Day breakfast, and traditionally hosted by the person who held your seat for a very long time. That was a white Irish guy. There were questions about whether you would want to pick up that mantle, but you did, and you did it well.
Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah, no, it was always fun. But I'm just wondering, what was the was there a complicated sort of decision process around figuring out how to host that and pick up that mantle that had been carried by someone else?
Yeah, I'm going to say that, you know, we all have champions, right?
Yeah.
Folks who look out for us and we don't even know when they're going to be out there. And for me, there were two people. I didn't even have to talk to them when the issue came up of whether or not Linda was going to host. Well, of course, in my mind, I am going to host because I was the state senator for the first Suffolk district. And it's always been the senator of the first Suffolk district that's hosted the breakfast. But, you know, President Bill Bulger, you know, when he was quoted in the Globe, when they asked him, well, what do you think? He was like, well, of course, Linda's going to host. She's the senator. It's always been done by the senator. You know, Congressman Stephen Lynch, you know, stepped up in the same article and said, what? Yeah, there is no question. It's going to be Linda. And by the way, she's pretty funny. So you all got something to see, right? And so that was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of work. I'm actually working with the delegation now, Congressman Lynch and all of them, to figure out, okay, who's going to be taking it on. But, you know, I'm still involved in terms of helping them to plan it. And so it will continue this year.
So you had two sort of high profile champions, and those are pretty good people to have. But was there sort of skepticism on the grassroots that you had to overcome?
I mean, no doubt, right? There's always skepticism. Yeah. I mean, here it is. It's the first time there's a woman, you know, there's the first time there's a black person on the TV talking about Happy St. Patrick's Day. But, you know, I have a blended family, right? My husband's Irish American. My kids are biracial. And so we celebrate Irish culture. We celebrate Black History Month. We celebrate Haitian culture. So we kind of celebrate it all. And so for me, it's, you know, once we knew we were going to do it, we brought amazing people to the table. Tommy Tinlin, a good friend. My husband's pretty funny. Myself, I think I'm okay. And the other people too.
You know how to tell a joke. No, it's true.
I try.
I can attest to that.
But I think Congressman Lynch is the best, though. I mean, come on. His jokes and delivery is amazing.
We should have had some tape for this interview just from those breakfasts. Let me ask you about the new opportunity here with Suffolk Construction. Vice President of Diversity, Inclusion, and Community Relations. Tell us what you'll be doing and what do you hope to achieve in this new role?
Yeah, so I'll be starting at the beginning of March. I'm really excited, really, about joining this team. They've been doing a lot of work already in terms of community and really building. And obviously the building piece, we know that they build smart. That's what they do. But really looking at diversity and inclusion and really being intentional. So I hope to bring my skill sets to the table. You know, before coming into the Senate, I was chair of Small Business and Community Development. So focused around how do we help small businesses, you know, that are owned by people of color, women, and also veterans to be able to get a piece of the pie, right? Because there's a lot happening here in Boston. And so I hope to be intentional about that work, but really to help them enhance what they've been doing. You know, John Fish has been critical around the Boston Scholars Athletes Program, which is a program that works with public high school students, you know, athletes in the Boston public high schools, but also in Springfield and other places. 4,000 kids they work with, you know, to get them into college. And that's something, you know, I look forward to really help figure out how can we do better with that. But, you know, it's a lot of things that they're doing already. And I just want to really be part of the team and to help them.
I want to ask you about one of Suffolk's big projects in Boston, of course, is the Wynn Casino.
Yes.
in Everett. And as we've reported, Steve Wynn resigned.
Yes.
As CEO of Wynn Resorts. Yep. Following allegations of sexual harassment.
That's
and
right.
Abuse that went on for apparently decades. Now the State Gaming Commission is looking into all of that. This is complicated because now the company you work for is involved in that. What's your response to all this? Where does this go?
I mean, I think that was a good thing he stepped down, right? I mean, when allegations happen, it's kind of like in the Senate, right? These were brave young men, four men that came forward to share that this was their experience and lobbyists. We want people to speak up. We want people to say, this is what happened, you know, and we cannot tolerate that. I would say that, you know, Suffolk Construction was picked, you know, through the process, you know, to their developer, right?
Should Wynn's name be on the building, though, when it's done?
I mean, that is interesting, right? So that's something that the Gaming Commission, I know Steve Crosby and his team are going to have to take a look at. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's something we're going to have to take a look at to see what happens in the end.
Well, Linda Dorsita, for you, final question. I got to say, as someone who covers politics in my normal life, I'm sorry that you're leaving the world of politics. But can you imagine returning to politics one day?
I say I do imagine that, because I'm going to say an example is to look at Governor Charlie Baker and Governor Deval Patrick. Although they were amazing public servants in their early careers, they left and they did a stint in the private sector and they gained experience in the business world. And when they came back and ran for governor, my goodness, the contribution was tremendous to our Commonwealth. And so I think, yeah, you can step out of public sector. You could step out of public life and still do amazing work in the private sector. And we don't know what tomorrow may bring. But maybe I'll be back.
All right. Well, let's hope. Linda Dorsita Forey, former state senator for the 1st Suffolk District. She is going to be starting a job as vice president of the Northeast Region Diversity, Inclusion, and Community Relations for Suffolk Construction. Senator Dorsita Forey, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony.
That's it for today. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.